Well, why don't we turn to Proverbs chapter 1 this morning? Well, let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's help. Before we do pray, though, one thought that I had. We often pray that the Lord would open our ears or open our eyes. We speak of the lost, that the Lord would open their ears, that they would hear. You children, I want you to understand what we're saying there. You know, we hear. You guys can sit here this morning and you can hear everything that I say. And you can understand that to some degree. You can say, oh, I remember what he spoke about or what he was talking about, or I remember that verse or whatever it might be. But unless that is to go down into the heart, you've not heard anything. And the same with us. Unless we as believers are changed by it, we've heard nothing. It's been all for naught. It's been worthless to us. And so this morning, as we begin, I want to pray that the Lord would give us ears to hear, that we would truly hear what is being said from this proverb. So let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful to be here again this morning, and we are thankful for your goodness and your mercy to us. We thank you for your grace that you've shown to us and your faithfulness to us. We would ask, Lord, for this time now that you would help, that you would give me help, that I would be clear, and that your word would be used in a mighty way this morning. We ask that you would give us hearing ears, that each of us would be changed, that we would all come away having heard, truly heard your word. So we ask for the help of your Spirit. We ask for fruit from this time, in the salvation of souls and in the changing of believers. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 1, we'll begin here. I'm going to read beginning in verse 8, but I really want to focus on 20 through the end. But we're going to read the whole thing. I really think it's a wonderful chapter here in Proverbs. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the net, to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. What's he saying here? He's warning. He's giving a warning to us, right? He specifically says, my son, my daughters, hear and listen to what I have to say. Truly hear and understand is what he's saying to us here. So children, listen, pay attention. Heed the instruction, heed the wisdom that is given here in these Proverbs. He warns here against the wickedness of following after those who go headlong into sin. And then he gives us some wisdom here in a positive sense. And he says in verse 20, wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way, and be satisfied or be filled with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Just a few thoughts upon this morning. I just want to kind of go verse by verse through this. First thing there in verse 20 and 21, wisdom shouts in the street, lifts her voice in the square. She cries out and she speaks in the gates. What's he saying here? What is wisdom doing? Wisdom wants all to hear. He says, wake up! Children, those who are lost, hear what I have to say. The streets are noisy. They're distracted. There's things going on. There's people. There's busyness. There's life. There's everything. He says, hear me. Listen. Forget those things. They mean nothing. Pay attention to what I have to say. He's crying out. He's shouting. Wisdom says, listen. Who is this wisdom? What is this wisdom? It's Christ. It's life. He says, pay attention to me. Do not be distracted. Do not be led astray. Do not allow the things of this life to hinder you. Give me your attention. Do not ignore me. I want all to hear. He's in the streets. He's in the gates. He's everywhere. There is no one who will not hear. Everyone knows. Everyone hears. They hear the cry. We all hear it this morning, to listen, to pay attention, to heed this wisdom. Verse 22 says, how long will you love being simple-minded? How long will you delight in scoffing? How long will you carry on in the things of this world and in the sin that you delight in? How long will this be? Listen to me, he says. Hear me. Be done with those things. Forget about that and listen to wisdom. Wisdom is crying out to you. Jesus Christ is crying out this morning. Come, listen. Come unto me. He pleads. I was reminded of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 8. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let us reason together. Let us consider what is said. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. What does that mean? Though your sin be as scarlet, consider that. All of you who do not know the Lord, all of you who are still dead in your sin is as red as crimson. It will bring you to hell and to destruction. Come, reason. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. There is a way to be white. There is a way to be clean. There is a way unto Christ. He warns here. He says, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. So he says, turn. We could think of it as repent. He will give understanding. We see here the way unto Christ is through God giving us understanding. Cry out for that understanding. Seek for that. What is another proverb that says, seek for wisdom as silver, and for gold is precious treasure? Seek for this thing. Seek for Christ. Long after Him and desire Him. He will be found. He is there. He is here.
Verse 24 says, "Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof." What's he saying here? He's saying you've heard. You've heard the truth and you've rejected it. You're the scorner and the scoffer, refusing it, pushing it aside. I don't want to hear that. Well, you have no choice this morning but to hear it. Sin will bring you to hell and bring you to destruction. He says here that you neglected it. You would refused. You stiffened your neck. You hardened your heart. You would not listen to wisdom. You would not listen to instruction. And what does he say? It says, because of this, in verse 26, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes, when it comes like a storm, when it comes like a whirlwind. What's he saying here? He's saying that those who continue in their sin will perish. That there is an end in sight. It is coming. And how is it coming? What does he say there? How is it going to come? When your calamity, when your dread comes like a storm. We just saw a storm roll in this morning. How did it come? Were we expecting it? I was sitting in my seat there and it was sunny. It was sunny. I looked out the window and next thing I know, there's a black cloud coming over and it's raining. It's pretty sudden. It's really sudden. I think back of the times I read in the Little House on the Prairie, how they talk about the blizzards that would come. You'd be outside on the prairie working, and before you knew it, you were trapped in a blizzard and you were dead. You had nowhere to go. That's sin. That's life. It's short. You're in your sin and it will kill you like that. You're done. Your life is over. It's sudden. The storm comes and it's too late. So he warns here. He says, your dread will come like a storm, like calamity, like a whirlwind, sudden. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. You will die in your sin if you wait for tomorrow to come. Every one of us who is outside of Christ will die in our sin. There is no hope outside of Him. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. We are not guaranteed that we will have time to repent. And what does he say there? I mean, it's really a terrible thing. It's a sad thing. It's a fearful thing. He says that I will laugh at your calamity and mock when that time comes. The Lord is merciful and the Lord is gracious and the Lord is kind. But there comes a day when that is all over. There comes a time where it's too late. There comes a time when you cannot repent, when you will not be able to turn, when the door is closed and all outside are lost and will die. It is a sure thing. It is a guarantee. You older children, let me warn you. Let me be very clear and very frank with you. You will die in your sin. And your parents, though they be the most godly of men and women, can do nothing for you. You will perish. You will die. You will spend eternity away from Christ. It is not a light thing. It's not a simple thing. It's life and death. It's a terrible thing to be away from Christ forever. So let me warn you. It comes, and it comes quickly, and it comes suddenly. Verse 28. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You may seek at that time, but you will not find. And you may seek diligently, but it is too late. it is a sure thing. The judgment of the Lord will come. Isaiah 55, 6 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." The Lord is near this morning. He may not be near tomorrow. But He is near this morning and He says, "Call upon Me. Seek Me." Verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Verse 30, "They would not accept my counsel, they spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." There will be no excuse on that day when the Lord returns, when you die and you meet the Lord, whatever comes first. You will not say on that day, "Lord, I did not know. Lord, nobody warned me. I didn't hear about this." I think we watched that movie Expelled, and that wicked man, Richard Dawkins, and they asked him, "What are you going to say if on that day, there is a God? What are you going to say to Him?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to say, you should have made it more clear, God. The judgment that will befall him will be great, as it will for all of you who do not heed the warning of this proverb and all of Scripture. You have heard. There is no excuse. There is no reason not to turn. You will not say, 'I did not know.' There are consequences. There is destruction. But of course, what? There is also good news. Because what? There is a way. There is a way that your sins may be covered, to where your sin can be white as snow, where you can be cleansed. How is that? Well, of course, that's through Jesus Christ. That's by faith in Christ alone. It's turning from your sin, turning from your evil ways, and clinging unto Christ. Seeking Him while He yet may be found. Coming unto Him when you're weary, and because you're heavy laden with the weight of your sin. Christ is there. Christ is here. He's calling all. Repent. Believe. Forsake your sin. Forsake your ways. Be done with your own wisdom and your own devices, and come unto Him. He calls all. He pleads with all. He desires all to come. Come to Him. Seek Him. Be made white in the blood of Christ. Verse 33 says, "But he who listens to me shall live securely, and he will be at ease from the dread of evil." He will live in safety. He will live in security. He will live in joy. He will rest. I mean, I think of, you kids, how tired were you all last night when you got done with capturing the flag? Most of you are probably pretty beat. Well, what if we told you you can never sleep again? What would you think of that? Pretty good, right? You get to just stay up all night, right? Well, then morning comes and we still say, well, you still can't sleep. How are you starting to feel? Pretty worn down. Pretty beat. Pretty worthless. Can't go on, right? That's how it will be on that day when you meet the Lord apart from Christ.
And it will be like that for all eternity. No rest, no joy, no delight, no nothing. But Christ says, come to me and I will give you rest. You may rest in me. You may live securely. You can live at peace. You can live in joy and in delight. That only comes in Christ. Apart from Christ, there is no rest. There is no peace. There is no joy. Maybe momentary, but not lasting. So he says, come. He says, listen to me. Live securely. Live at peace. Live at rest. And I thought of this psalm. Psalm 16. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's what it's like being in Christ. Joy and pleasures forevermore. Think of the greatest delights of this world, and they do not compare to the joy and the delight of Christ and being with Him forevermore. There is no comparison. These things will fade. You children will grow old. You'll start to look like me, walk like me, hobble around. It won't be as fun as it once was. Come to Christ. Come to Christ.